Today I will deal with the ultimate, everybody say ultimate, the ultimate disruption. The ultimate disruption. Resurrection isn't just an event. We look at it as just an event, but it's more than that. It's a divine disruption that shakes everything. And if it doesn't shake it, it should be shaken. It shakes up everything. And here's a truth. Jesus was and still is the ultimate disruptor. He was a revolutionary. The ultimate disruptor. And he did not come just to maintain the status quo, the way it's always been, the way we think, our man-made ideas and our traditions. I do not serve tradition. I do not serve man-made ideas. I do not serve religion. I do not serve denominations. I serve Jesus Christ. It's a big difference from this house and many other houses. I serve Jesus, as we all should. Jesus came to disrupt the status quo, and he calls us, everyone in here today, to the extraordinary. Say, I will be extraordinary. So you see, Resurrection Day or resurrection equals disruption. It equals intervention, intersection. But I want you to see it as the ultimate disruption today. I want to take you to Matthew 28, verse 1 through 4. I won't be a long time today. You know, we don't just walk into this house to hear a few words. We walk into this house to be changed by the Spirit of God. We walk into this house to be transformed and to be renewed. So in Matthew 28, verse 1 through 4 in the New International Version, after the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. And there was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning. His appearance was like lightning. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. They couldn't handle the presence. Everybody say there was a violent earthquake. You have to see this scene for a moment. Put it in your mind. You know, a lot of us, we see Easter Sunday morning, a resurrection day. We see it as a gentle sunrise and peace and calm, and everything is beautiful and the birds are flying and chirping. But let me just tell you about the picture. Picture an earthquake from heaven. Angels on assignment. You have to see what happened. It was radical. It was disruptive. It was moving, life-changing, history-making. So I don't see the little sunrise, but I see an earthquake from heaven. I see angels on assignment. I see guards frozen in fear. I see the stone rolled away, not by men, but by the glory of God. And the glory of God is still rolling stones away today. Still today, he's rolling away those things that have captured us, held us down, held us in darkness, kept us isolated. And God says, just watch this. You didn't think you could get out, but here comes his glory, and he rolls the stone away. And before you leave here today, you're going to find out that you've been set free from your tomb. So Easter was anything but quiet. It was loud, loud like your bishop today. Easter wasn't quiet. As a matter of fact, it shook the earth. There was a great shaking. It disrupted the grave. And that same power, let me announce to you today, that same power that happened on that first Easter Sunday morning is shaking things up today. So Jesus didn't come and he didn't do what he did so we could remain the same. Let me say it again. Jesus didn't come so we could just remain the same. Everybody, eyes on me. Amen. If anybody walks in or walks out or a baby cries, don't turn and look at them. God's more important than that. For many sitting here, it might be the last message you ever hear. What I'm trying to tell you, this is a holy day. Now, I'm not wishing that on anyone because I want us to live and not die. I want us to be healed and not suffer. But we have to be attentive. We have to be listeners and doers of the word. Am I right or wrong? So Jesus didn't rise so that we would just remain the same. Same old, same old. He didn't walk out so you could stay stuck. He came out so we could go in. What do you mean? Into the Holy of Holies. Into resurrection power. Into the kingdom of God. That's why he did what he did. So, because Jesus is the ultimate disruptor. He still is. And he was bringing, on that day, he was bringing heaven to earth. As he prayed, "Our Father which art in heaven, let heaven be like earth and earth be like heaven." He was bringing heaven to earth and calling us out of old systems, stale religion, and small thinking. I don't know about anybody seated here today, but I'm sick and tired of the status quo and stale religion. Religion never saved anyone. Let me go a step further, Doc. The Baptists didn't save anyone. Presbyterians didn't save anyone. The Assembly of God didn't save anyone. The East-West Church didn't save anyone. It was Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. It was because of him that we have life and that everlasting. It was because of him. Get that in your mind. So forget about the old systems, forget about stale religion, and forget about thinking about small things, because whatever you think is what you become. I'm going to ask you a question. What if this resurrection day is meant to disrupt you? Maybe this day and you came out thinking, "Well, I'll just go and see my old friends. I'll come out and pal around a little bit and hear what the bishop's got to say. I don't think he's got much to say, but I'll go out there and I'll just, you know." But what if, just what if today, God wants to disrupt you? He wants you to take off the old and put on the new. Maybe it's just time for a change. I remember the old song, "Time for a cool change." And I believe it's time for a change. I said before, the resurrection, something much more than we've ever seen or interpreted. It was the original disruption. The original. By the original disruptor, Jesus Christ. Let me give you a few more scriptures. In Luke 24, verse 1, the Bible says, "On the first day of the week, very early in the morning." Now, most Christians would miss that because they don't get up early. "Very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb." See, they prepared for death. Come on now. Many of us come in here preparing for death, and that's what they did. They were preparing for death instead of life. They weren't preparing for resurrection, even though you'll find out in a moment they should have known. Amen. Just like many of you here, one day you're going to say, "You know, that's what the bishop was talking about. I didn't see it, but there it is." So they took their spices and prepared and went in the tomb because the stone was rolled away. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Verse 3, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. They didn't find him. The disruptor had disrupted, and now he's out. He's interrupting everybody's life. And while they were wondering, here they're wondering, and they should have known. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. You don't need those spices. We don't need your tears. We don't need your being somber or distracted or disenfranchised or dislocated. We need your attention on the fact that he is not here. The sad thing is, for many places like this today, he is not here. Because we have made church, what we call organized church, a tomb, and there's a lot of dead bones in it. Now I'm starting like I'm preaching to preachers now. I'm practicing because it's going to happen. We've gotten ourselves, you say, well, I'm not that person. Listen, you're probably the chiefest. You're probably right there at the head of the line. Well, Bishop, you don't know who I am and what I'm all about and what I've done. I don't care what you've done. And as a matter of fact, God don't care what you've done. You want me to preach now? You do understand, and I've done a lot of studies on near-death experiences, and I just want you to understand that people, that when they face God, they try to face him. And many, one that was dead for several minutes, told God how many things that she had done and all the accolades and all the diplomas and all the things, great things she'd done and all the businesses she had done. All the things she thought would blow God away. This is her testimony and was dead. And God did not even qualify it. He said, but what did you do for people that were around you? What did you do? See, we think God's going to be blown away with how good we were. No, no. He's going to be looking at what you did. Are you in covenant? Everybody say covenant. Covenant is a contract with God. God help me. I feel good today. I don't know about y'all. I might be preaching better than you're responding. I don't know. He is not here. But I'm going to tell you, he may not be in a lot of places, but I know for a fact he's right here right now. He is here. And he's risen. Now watch this point here in verse 6. Remember, y'all are wondering, remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day be raised again. And then they remembered his words. What a sad editorial. And then they remembered. After all that, now they remember. It's like your doctor saying, don't do this, don't do that. And you slough it off until bad things happen. Then you remember what he said. He said, you're too fat. You should have listened. But those words ring out in my ears. Why do you look for the living amongst the dead? That's why I don't understand why people go to dead assemblies where they go and hear a dead sermon and then they don't even pray. They don't even say anything about Jesus Christ and his shed blood. They do nothing that changes your life, and yet we still stay in that dead environment. I don't understand it. You say, Bishop, you're just trying to get us to come to church. No, this may be the last time I see y'all because some of y'all only come twice a year. Maybe I ought to drop the mic and walk off now. But, Bishop, we want you to be kind to us. That's the problem. Here, let me say this. Can I preach just a little bit? Can I minister to you? That's what's the problem with parenting right now. We want to be kind to our children, and we're raising devils. Well, I'm kind, and I know how it is, and I know what I went through in life, and I don't want to shake the basket up. You better start shaking a basket. Amen. If my daddy and mother had not parented me properly, I wouldn't be standing here today preaching this gospel. Amen. I can tell you that now. Right, Gerald? It's a fact. It's good to see your son here today, too. You got to raise him right. He might be a preacher one day. Who knows? So I'm not going to look for the living amongst the dead. The disruptor had disrupted, and he'd come out erupted out of the grave. The women showed up with spices, but there was no body. There was no Savior. Now watch this. The system that we all live in, the system of that day said, death wins. Ha ha! Death wins. But heaven said, he is not here. He is risen. He's not here. He's risen. What did Jesus do? What did he do that day, that disruptor? Jesus shattered every expectation. He shattered every expectation. The disciples obviously did not expect it, even though he told them. The religious leaders couldn't handle it, and hell couldn't stop it. Does that excite anybody but me? You know, somebody wrote me today, and we were talking about it before, and said, Happy Easter, Happy Easter. It's not a happy Easter. What do you mean, ain't happy? I'm happy. Are you really? It's a glorious Easter. It's a day to be excited. It's a day to be transformed, a day to be renewed. Let me say again, this is a day of new beginning. I'm going to say it again. New beginning starts today. On this Easter 2025, Easter marks a beginning for us. Us. Hell couldn't stop it. Hell wanted to. Matter of fact, hell didn't know what they'd done. Because the Bible clearly states if they'd known what they were doing, they wouldn't have done it. Hell couldn't stop it. But the problem is we see the tomb as a monument. The tomb is not a monument. It's a launch pad. Do I need to say that again? We see the tomb as a monument, but the tomb truly is a launching pad. Why? We should all be launched into a heavenly experience because of the tomb. Because what happened that day. And I'm excited about today. I'm excited about tomorrow. I'm excited about next year and the year after that. You say, Bishop, you're getting a little old now. You shouldn't be so excited. That's not for you to say. I want to be launched into spiritual insight, into revelation. I want to be placed where God wants me to be and where He wants me to flourish and grow and produce, the Bible says, much fruit. Is anybody excited but me? I'm excited. You know why? I'm going to go home today, and I'm going to say, it is finished. It is well. Yeah. What do you mean by, well, we'll get into that in a minute, but the truth of the matter is, it's a new beginning. What is finished? We close the door to the old, we open the door to the new. Here's something, several things struck me this morning pretty strong. And I know, well, it's still early. Can I give you a spiritual insight that came to me early this morning? I mean early this morning when most of y'all are still snoring. The Lord took me to a scripture that said, something we have preached over and over and over and over and over again. Jesus said, when the disciples asked him, what's the greatest of the commandments? And Jesus said, well, let me just tell you. There's two. And in every one of all the law and the prophets hangs on these two things. Now, notice who's saying this, Jesus. Well, what is that, Jesus? He said, well, you'll love the Lord thy God with all the heart, soul, and mind. Now, here's a phrase that people leave out. We preach around it. We preach, you'll love the Lord God with all thy heart, soul, and mind, and love thy neighbor as thyself. But what we leave out of there is, he said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind. And this is where God pointed me this morning. He said, and the second is like unto it. It's equal with that. Are you catching this? He said, it's equal to that. You say, I already knew that. No, you didn't. It's equal to that. In other words, when you love your neighbor, it's equal to serving God. Y'all need to catch that. Man, when that hit me this morning, I said, thank you, Jesus. I'll hold that out. I'll use that at some big conference. And God said, no, you just go ahead and do it. Because the truth of the matter is we need to get that truth into our hearts. Love the Lord thy God with all the heart, soul, and mind. If you don't love your neighbor, you don't love the Lord thy God with all the heart, soul, and mind. Because it's equal to it. You want to be a disruptor? Do what others will not do. Don't love. Don't forgive. And watch what happens. You say, but I don't want to be a disruptor. I don't want to shake any. I don't want to ruffle the basket. I'm telling you, the problem is nobody's ruffling the basket. We've been preaching a preach-easy gospel. We have coming from a performance atmosphere. We're not worried about people's lives or souls. And I want to tell you, I'm worried about everybody seated in here today. I love you enough to want to see you stand before God and remember what I'm saying. That's the truth. But we have so watered down the word that nobody feels nothing, doesn't experience anything. So that nobody leaves with a transformed mind and with a transformed speech. Nothing changes. We still go home and argue with our wife or husband. We still argue with our children. Instead of standing up and saying, listen, this is the house of the Lord. Well, no, it's my home. It's the house of the Lord. It's your personal sanctuary. And you ought to say, we will have peace in our valley. That was your free part. The tomb. Then the Bible, he showed me something in 1 Corinthians 3 today. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 12, he says, if any man builds on this foundation using gold, on what foundation? On Jesus Christ. You build with gold or silver or costly stones, wood, hay, or straw. His work will be shown for what it is. Because the day will bring it to light. What day? The day of the Lord. It will be revealed with fire. If you look at that word fire in the original, it also means lightning. Revealed with lightning. What did he say the women saw? He appeared like lightning. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. So the Lord dealt with me again. You see, Jesus was born and placed in a manger. He was placed on a wooden cross, and there he died. He was born and placed in hay. You're going to see this in a minute. He was born and placed in hay. He died on a piece of wood, but was raised on a stone. Are you seeing this? He was raised on a stone. And Jesus said, upon this rock, I'll build my church. What are you saying? Fire will burn the hay. Fire will burn the wood. But fire is not going to affect the stone. You're a part of the stone. You're a part of the rock. God, that was something. The Lord just says things to me like that. I'm thinking, that's powerful. when people realize who they really are. Wood, hay, and stubble is going to burn up, but that which is precious, that which can endure, will remain. The strength of a church or a local assembly, you have to qualify it and define it. We're a local assembly. We are not the church. Is in the quality of the content of the people that are coming here, that are part of it. Those that cannot be shaken. Those that can't be burned up. Either you've got a hay relationship with God, or a wood relationship with God, or you've got a stone relationship with God. That's what's important. So let me say this. On this great Easter resurrection day, if your faith hasn't disrupted your routine, you're still camping in a cemetery wearing grave clothes. That's just fact. That's where you're camping out. He said, no, I got on pretty clothes today. No, you got grave clothes on. Bishop, I wish you wouldn't preach this way because I don't know if I'll ever come back again. Well, it ain't going to affect me, but it's certainly going to affect you. But I want a loving pastor. I want somebody to love me. No, what you need is an apostle. Amen. Big difference. And I could preach right there and tell you why. I won't right now. But that's what the church needs, is apostles and prophets. Because miracles will not happen until that happens. I can prove that, but won't do it today. It has nothing to do with this message. We need a spiritual earthquake. We need a spiritual quake that wakes us up, shakes us out of our doing nothingness, our apathy, our cold relationship. We need to be shook up. If you ever watched a coach with a football player that's messing up on the field, grab the pads and shake them? You say, what is he trying to do? He's trying to get him to think. God is going to shake and is already shaking what's fake to reveal what is real. He's shaking it. What do you mean by that, Bishop? You better give me some Bible, because I don't think you're preaching unless you give me some Bible. Okay, I will. Hebrews 12:26 says, and at that time his voice, speaking of a time when God spoke on Mount Sinai, at that time, for the children of Israel in the wilderness, he says, at that time his voice shook the earth. But now he has promised. But now he has promised. Everybody say now. Now he has promised, once more I will shake not only the earth, but I'll also shake the heavens. The words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Once more, let me remind it, once more I will shake not only the earth, but the heavens. Now, this isn't a gentle nudge. This is a divine quake. It's going to rattle you to your core. It's going to make you sit up and think, what in the world is going on? I don't understand it. And God said, I don't want you to, you don't have to understand it. Just keep doing what I want you to do. You see, God's going to shake whatever's built on sand because he's a disruptor. The ultimate. God shakes what's built on sand to reveal what's anchored in him. He's not preserving your comfort zones. See, but I want you to preserve, keep it. No, he's not going to preserve your comfort zones. He's going to demolish them. with that quaking, with that shaking. He's going to remove, watch this, he's going to shake the fake fire. You say, is there fake? Yes, sir. And wherever it's fake, there's a real. He's going to remove fake fire, dead routines, shallow religion. He's going to shake it. So get ready. All those things are going to be exposed. What a disruption. As he starts to shake. What do you mean? God is going to shake everything that's temporary. Everything that's man-made. Well, I've been working hard to build God's church. Well, I'm going to tell you, he didn't ask you to build it. What? Bishop, I don't think you're reading the Bible. I'm reading the Bible. Jesus said, do you think we ought to quote Jesus? He said, upon this rock, I will build my church. I'm going to let you think about that for a minute. So we're out here working, sweating, perspiring, thinking I'm building the church. You ain't doing nothing. He's doing it. We just happen to be, he can use us. So everything that's temporary, everything that's man-made or corruptible, everything that is part of the fallen created order, he's going to shake it. The fall. Remember the original sin? The fall. What's the purpose? Why? The purpose. To remove what is unstable. Unstable Christianity. Unstable members and partakers in the body of Christ. And reveal what is eternal. He's going to shake it up. So, well, I hope I'm not one of those shaken. You need a shaking. I do. Sometimes I need to be shaken back into reality. And if I need it, I promise you, you need it too. We all need an aha moment, an epiphany. We need that. Real growth. How many people want growth? Real growth starts where your comfort zone ends. I'm almost through, I think. So I'm going to ask this question. What then, what is God trying to shake loose in your life? Y'all need to identify that. I can't do it for you. I know things I need to be shake loose. What does God need to shake loose in your life? Because a lot of y'all, well, not in here, but out there, a lot of people have stinking thinking. We're just not thinking properly. That's a fact. We think we know, but we don't know. But then I read a verse that says, in speaking about his power, this resurrection power that has the power to disrupt. Romans 8:10 says, but if Christ is in you, if Christ is in you, what a heavy statement. We're waiting for Jesus to come back, but he's saying, I'm in you. People are so messed up. You know why? Because we're following the teachings of other people and other denominations and religions. We're not following what Jesus is saying. Now, I even have people around me that'll disagree with me. And I'm going to say to them, you need to go read the Bible. Because if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin. Now, I could preach right there, Rihanna. I could what I told you Friday night back and back. That'll preach right there. See, I gave her some revelation. She got it. I ain't telling y'all because y'all, wake up. Your body's dead but sin, but your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the spirit of him, Jesus, who raised Jesus, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. Who lives in who? Who? He lives in you. The same Spirit, the very same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Is that possible? Absolutely. There's a whole teaching on this that I'd have to really be careful who I'm talking to. But there's a whole teaching, and you have to understand, everybody feels that they're born again. But the truth of the matter is, I believe for many of us, we need to be born again again. But what you're saying, once saved, also he's saved. That's not what I'm talking about. In order to have that power of Christ working in you, we need to go on from the first steps. If you're going to have to, I'm paraphrasing, but we get into the milk of the Word, we're babes in Christ, and we've been born again. Boy, I'm going to get in trouble here because I'm going to have to start defining it for you. But if I was to ask you, how are you doing, Doc? And you told me, well, I was a pretty baby. I loved pablum. I walked when I was 3 months old. You took me back, and now you're 50 or 60 years old. I don't know how old you are. I can't remember. 40. If you took me back to that point, I would think he's crazy. If you took a picture out of Bill Fuller, here I am when I was a baby. The problem is when we're born again, we keep going back to that same experience, not realizing that God, that's the start. It's the summation of all those things that you've done from then till now that makes you who you are. Many people have stopped at that born again experience and don't realize they need to be born again and again and again and again until they get Christ in them. Did I make sense to anybody, or did I confuse you? I don't have time to preach it. See, whenever I study, I get in trouble. Then he said, why don't you study more during the week? Because if I do, I'll be preaching 4 or 5 hours up here. Because I have, when I deposit it's in my spirit, I've got to let it go. Because I'm in constant study in my mind. You think I'm not? I am. Just like I'm constantly talking to Jesus in my mind. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, in me, in us. And this, Sister Floyd, is not partial power. It's complete. It's absolute. It's a total takeover. It's resurrection in your body, your healing. It's resurrection in your identity, your worth. It's resurrection in your purpose, your calling. It's resurrection in your house, in your mind, and in your future. It's resurrection in everything that you do or say. It's resurrection. There ought to be a few people running in here today. See, we're too sophisticated to really give God the glory and say, thank you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. Praise God. Well, I don't have nothing to dance and run about. Well, that's the problem. You don't realize what's happened on Resurrection Day. Because if Christ is in you, lymphoma can't live. Cancer can't live. Diabetes can't live. Lupus can't live. Arthritis, rheumatism, liver problems, kidney problems. I could name them all. Nothing can fight the power of the living Christ. God help me today. So resurrection is not partial. Resurrection power, Floyd, is not partial. It's total and complete takeover if Christ is in you. So I want to say it again. Resurrection didn't stay in the tomb. Resurrection didn't stay in the tomb. Ben, I'll talk to you. They're not listening to me. Resurrection didn't stay in the tomb, and it's not staying in the church building either. Resurrection power goes beyond all that. It's what raised you up, Pat. The testimonies I've gotten this week. Tony, your mom. You have to remind me, Denise, we had a couple more of people that was telling me what God did for them. You said, well, God ain't done nothing for me. It's because you're not doing nothing for Him. Sonia had a testimony. She wrote me. Huh? And Valerie. Something that should have taken a very long time. Our government moves very slow. But what should have taken a lot more time, Valerie got exactly what she needed. Am I right, Valerie? Say amen. People need to know it's real. And Sonia, she brought me a contract last week, wasn't it? You mind me telling this? I don't care if you do. Does anybody remember me laying my hands? Within 24 hours, it was done. The miracle of this facility here and what God is doing is a miracle. Y'all don't realize it, but it's absolutely a miracle because nobody wants buildings like this. They just don't. But when God says a thing, He means a thing, and He makes a way where there seems to be no way, just like He did for your contract, just like He did for Val, just like He did for Tony's mom, and just like He's doing for you, Butch, whether you realize it or not, God is still working in your life. So I wish you'd sit down because I could do a better job. I don't think you could. So, it doesn't stay in the tomb and it don't stay in the church building either. It should get out of sight of here. This room cannot contain the power of Christ working in us. Y'all tired yet? Okay, good. So, what should I do for me, Bishop? Because I'm worried about me. It's me, myself, and I, the unholy Trinity. It's all about me. What's in it for me? So what should I do? Stop asking God for tweaks. I'm going to be tweaked up. I need to be tweaked. Stop asking God for tweaks when He's offering transformation. I don't want to tweak what I am. I want to leave here today and be changed. I don't want to be the same Alan that walked in here this morning and stood on the platform. I want to be the Alan God wants me to be when I walk off this platform. I don't want you to be the same person that drove your car in here today and you walked in and sat down here wondering what's the old boy got to say. I want you to walk out here saying, you know what? Christ is in me, the hope of glory. I want to shout myself. I'm telling you what the truth, Floyd. We need some shouting in this house. Say, no, we're why in the world are we so complacent when Jesus is standing here saying, I've got a power that's going to work in you? You say, well, how is that good for me? I'm trying to tell you, it'll work in your doctor's practice. It'll work on the business, on your job. It'll work in your family. It'll work at school. Jimmy Gross told me today, he said, I barely got out of high school, but God took him up a corporate ladder where people with many degrees could not get it. And I'm going to tell you, you say, Bishop, why aren't you scared of some things God's saying to you? I told you this, I think I did Friday night. You understand that by faith is not seen, it is unseen. But it is reality. What do you mean? Because when God said to me, take a look at the congregation, and I want to show you something. He started dealing with me backstage months and months and months ago. He said, it's time for a change. It's time for you to move on. It's time for you to do what I've asked you to do. Well, aren't you fearful of moving out of this place? No, I am not, because he said, get thee out of thy land, out of your father's house. Amen. See, aren't you scared? Absolutely not. Because many of you sitting here today are a part of it, and you know exactly that we're here for God. I'm not here for buildings. I'm tired of worrying about buildings. But this is holy. No, it's not. No, it's not. This ain't the old temple in Jerusalem. And it's not the Holy of Holies right here. He said, well, I disagree with you, Bishop. I got verses. Read your verses. It's wrong. This building is not, it's consecrated to the work of God. But God is not, when we leave here today, God's floating around in here. You really think he is? He's not. He said, well, I walked in here, I felt him. It's because he's with you. I walked in, I felt the power of God. Yeah, because maybe there was somebody else in here that's on fire for God, and people, it's infectious. People start to sense it. They feel it. I've had many times, something's different with you, mister. And I said, well, something's different with you. I don't know what it is, but something's different. Well, the difference is, it's Christ in me. It's Christ in you. I better go back to preaching here. I'm not going to ask for tweaks. I'm asking for transformation. I don't want to be tuned in. I want to be changed. We need to rise beyond what's expected and go into the unexpected. You weren't created for the ordinary. I'm starting to lock this thing down now. We were not created for the ordinary. Don't settle for the routine, the mundane routine, when God's offering resurrection, revolution, get out of the grave power. We've got to get into his glory. So let me challenge you today, get out of your grave clothes. They don't look good on you anyway, they're baggy. Get out of your grave clothes. Leave them behind. Notice that word, behind. Step out of dead habits, old mentalities, and stale religion. Step out of it. Well, maybe, just maybe, this is your resurrection moment. The ultimate disruption. You're about to be disrupted. You don't realize it. You're going to get out of here and realize. You say, well, some of you may even be mad at me. That's fine. You'll get over it. God will wake you up in the middle of the night and say, you're wrong. Because he wakes me up, brother. He told me a few things to do this morning I didn't want to do, and I did them. You know why? Because he's God, and he thinks he's God. And he thinks whatever he says comes to pass. Because it does. I'm ready for the ultimate disruption in my life and in the lives of the people that are listening to me today. It's time to step into the shakeup. Step into the quake. Are you ready? Are you ready to leave your comfort zone behind? I'm asking questions. Are you ready to stretch into resurrection purpose? So are you ready for the Holy Spirit earthquake? So ask yourself this question today again. What's your tomb today? What is it? What is God calling you out of? Now let me tell you, I'm simple-minded, but if I get out of something that's bad, I ain't going back in it. If you serve me a bad dish, I ain't coming back to get a second helping. Now I appreciate the Bible saying, slap me on the cheek and I'll turn the other, but if you slap me once, we're going to have a problem. Right there. You know what I'm saying? We got a problem right there. Because I ain't coming back for another. So what's your tomb today? Where does God want you to walk out of? I believe it's time to start praying, to pray for a shaking. All you got to do is ask him once. And be very careful when you say it. And you say, God, shake me, get ready. God is calling us to pray for a shaking, a stretching, a resurrection. I want you to say this with me. I'll say this slow so you can say it back to me. Because this is closing. This Easter we declare. The resurrection didn't just happen. It's happening now in us. Through us. Let the ultimate disruption begin. Now give the Lord a praise. Come on, give God the praise. Come on, give God the praise.